Okay, hello and welcome back, guys. I have really missed you. I've really missed catching up, talking into a microphone and a laptop. But I also know someone is at the other end receiving this. So I am very thankful. As I always say, I am actually very, very grateful that people give me their time, especially with something like long form content, because our attention spans are not it, including my own these days. I love TikTok, but it is ruining our brains. And yeah, I'm just so grateful to the people who do genuinely download, who listen, and just give me their time of day. But yeah, I took a well-needed break, to be quite honest. I don't think I recorded one at all in August, and it's now nearly the end of September, which is crazy. I'm still in Bali. I have not left yet. I will be leaving come November, but I haven't left yet, mainly because I've been enjoying it. I've been really working on my business. I've been working on just creating different avenues within my business, and it's been very exciting. I have like a pep in my step, which I've been loving, because I actually don't speak about it a lot on social media, but I'd say for the last 2 years of my life, I went on, I'm not even gonna say spiritual journey, because I feel like we're all very spiritual beings in general, whether you realize it or not. You are a spiritual being, which is amazing. I definitely went like deep into my own healing, like healing my own beliefs and the subconscious beliefs that I carried about myself. And that's actually funny enough that I've even mentioned that, because that's what today's podcast is going to be about. Today's podcast is mainly going to be about our beliefs, the thoughts that we're having within, then shape our external world. So what we see is a mirror of what's going on in the inside. Now, I know before you pause and you're like, what the fuck is she talking about? Give me a second, because what we're going to do in this is we're going to change. I'm going to help you understand your belief and help you change your limiting beliefs, because your limiting beliefs, or the beliefs that you hold about yourself, or this image that you hold about who you are, is actually the reason that a lot of the times we aren't reaching our goals, or we haven't quote unquote manifested the things that we wanted. It's usually coming down to the subconscious beliefs that we have about ourselves. So before you knock off, you gotta give me a chance, because we're gonna change some things today, okay? But yeah, that's kind of what I've been doing for the last 2 years, is changing the way I seen myself, the way I held myself, just the beliefs, my childhood trauma that I carried with me. But what I found is that I got too deep into it, that I literally overthought every single thing, like whether something was aligned or not, or was it the right thing. And I suppose that's perfectionism in a nutshell. You know, for somebody who healed a relationship with food and body image, and that perfectionism sometimes finds its way into different areas of your life without even realizing. And I think for me, it was masked in this idea of like, oh, is that aligned? But that kind of always stopped me from taking any action, because I was so worried about getting the perfect outcome or being very aligned, when in reality, you will figure out. Like, that's what life is about, is figuring out when things aren't aligned anymore, and you will feel it. And that's something that I always talk about in terms of your relationship with food and body image. Like, when you start binging and you start restricting and feeling guilty and food noise is consuming your mind, that is your cue, girl. That is your cue, girl, that is not aligned anymore. That is not how you should be living your life. If something was aligned, it makes you feel good. It adds to your life. You know, it doesn't take away from your life. And if something, no matter if it's relationship with food, body image, whatever it might be, relationships, friendships, if something is genuinely taken away from your life, that's how you know is more than likely not supposed to be in your life anymore. So those behaviors that you keep engaging in with regards to food and your body image, you're not supposed to be doing it anymore, because it's taken away from your life and it's not actually adding to your life in any way. Yeah, I think, and for the last, I'm gonna say, honestly, since probably I came to Bali, I've just been feeling a lot better in myself, a lot more grateful, which is amazing. And that also goes down to, if you have not seen me preach about the magic, the book, I highly, highly suggest it. You know, I didn't think I realized how much I was missing gratitude in my day-to-day life, and how much it genuinely makes your life 10 times better. I was walking around life not being, if I'm being truly honest with you guys, I was walking around life not being grateful for everything that I had. Does that make sense? Like, don't get me wrong, I'd have days where I'm like, oh my God, like, this is fucking amazing, or like, look at this, or like, there'd be times at Soulful Sundays, if any of you have been to Soulful Sundays, or setting up projects, but it was always with big milestones in my life that I was like, oh my God, this is fucking cool, this is amazing, I love life, I'm so grateful. Whereas I didn't realize how much it's actually just about the little thing. It's the little things that make up your day-to-day life that we need to be more grateful for. So if you have not got the magic book already, I highly suggest. It's 28 days of doing an action every single day. And honestly, I'm going to say that it really put a pep in my step. Now, am I sitting here saying that I don't have down days or I don't have low days? No, that is a part of life, but I definitely feel a lot lighter is what I'm going to say in myself, a lot better in myself. And yeah, and we're going to speak about that now. So if you've been feeling like maybe quite down or in a rut, or you're just feeling held back, or you're feeling like how life looks like all around you on the outside is what I'm talking about. Okay, so not your thoughts, not any of that. I'm not talking about life on the outside, work, relationships, friendship, everything that you have in your outer reality, basically. If you're feeling like that's not in a great place, then that is what we're going to chat about today. Because if that's not in a great place, I can guarantee what's going on inside of you isn't in a great place. So beliefs and like what's going on in the inside is always what's going on the outside. So this means beliefs, thought, and that then obviously shapes the behaviors that you're having on a day-to-day basis. And if you're behaving in a certain way on a day-to-day basis, that is of course going to give you an outcome. So where do beliefs actually come from? So it's a repeated thought plus an emotional charge, which basically just means an emotional response, and evidence your mind collects to make it true. So this can be something that happened in the past. This can be early conditioning from parents, teachers, culture, religion. Like, we work with a lot of women in Rediscovering You who come with the idea of they're not good enough. And sometimes it's actually been told from teachers, where it's like, you'll never make it, or you'll never be this, or you'll never be X, Y, and Z. That comes from early conditioning, and it shapes this belief of I'm not good enough. Then we have experiences, like I said, a painful moment. So where, you know, you might have had a heartbreak, or you were rejected, or somebody left you, like abandonment. And if you had it, like, let's just say even in school or getting into college or exam, you studied really hard and you didn't get the result you wanted, or you didn't get the college you wanted, you can take that up as rejection. Repetition then. So thoughts become basically just repetition every single day. Your brain is basically, like, think of how many thoughts you have on a day-to-day basis. If you think a thought enough times, it becomes a pattern. It's like anything, that creates a pattern within your brain. So every time a specific thing happens, your brain goes to, oh, well, you mustn't be good enough. And that goes back to, again, your early conditioning. So the reason that beliefs can be also very difficult to change is because of the emotional experience that is attached to them. So let's just say something that I would have went through a lot in my childhood would have been like abandonment. So physical and emotional abandonment of parents. That would have felt like, again, I was being abandoned. So that was something that I always then seen in my outer world, whether it was friendships, whether it was relationships, whether it was mainly actually I seen it in like romantic relationships, where I then formed that anxious attachment style because I was so afraid of people leaving me that I became so anxiously attached to these people that in the end they did end up leaving. So yeah, I always had this belief that people would, like the people closest to me would always leave, because that was what my brain was used to. That was what happened from early childhood all the way up in my life. So even if somebody left because just reality was that the relationship wasn't working out, I, because I didn't have the awareness back then, was taking that as like, oh, well, that I'm not good enough, or that's because, you know, they always leave, Kira. So it's reaffirming. So even though evidence on the outside, let's just say if I was to zoom out and I had this awareness now and I'm looking at, let's just say, I'm going to use a romantic relationship for example, but I'm looking at a romantic relationship and I'm like, oh, that didn't work out because of X, Y, and Z. My brain didn't do that. My brain went straight to, you're not good enough, and everybody always leaves. Everybody that you love always leaves. Even though I might have had played a part in that, I also might know, like, that relationship might not have been working out and I knew it, but when it actually happens, it re-hits that old wound and my brain goes straight to that pattern, which I just spoke about a second ago. A pattern becomes ingrained in your brain and you just go straight to that, and that's the reason, rather than actually looking at the evidence, which is what we're going to speak about. But some examples that you could potentially see it in is, again, it comes back to like that not good enough is a really good one, because I kid you not, every single woman that inquires for Project Rediscovering You, every single question, like the question that we obviously have on the application when you first inquire, is about like what you're looking to achieve or what you're looking to overcome, and the main thing comes back to is this idea of not being good enough. I'm looking to not keep feeling like I'm not good enough. So what happens when we have that not good enough belief is that actually goes across the board. Like I just mentioned it in relationships there, but think of your career. Think of every time you even got rejected for a promotion or rejected in a career aspect, you probably jump to, oh, well, it's because I'm not good enough. And that is also a sign that's probably a belief you hold. Or if a relationship didn't work out, like I said, and you felt rejected or whatever, it goes back to probably, again, that feeling of not good enough. I do feel like a lot of belief, even abandonment, goes straight back to not not good enough, and you will see everything in your life. You won't go to the, like, oh, rejection is like redirection. You'll go straight to, oh, I wasn't good enough, or people will always leave, or it must have been because I wasn't pretty enough. So whatever insecurities you might hold, they are actually usually beliefs about yourself, or usually deep-rooted beliefs as well. Sometimes we can just have insecurities and them not to be deep-rooted beliefs, of course, but usually the things that we're insecure about, this is what I always say to my clients as well, like, your brain is wired to scan for evidence to back up what you believe about yourself. So that's what I mean in the sense of, if your brain is wired to scan for evidence to back up what you believe about yourself, right? If what you believe about yourself is primarily negative things, do you not think that you're going to go out into the world and you're going to be looking around to see things to prove that? So whether it was the job promotion, whether it was the relationship, whether it was the friendship, whatever it might have been that, let's just say, didn't work out, that's evidence that your brain is looking for to say, oh yeah, it's because you're this, or you thought you were getting a client in if you work for yourself, or you thought you were going to get something, you thought you were going to get that house, you thought you were going to get this, whatever it might have been, and you didn't get it. That is what your brain is looking for. Your brain is always like scanning to look for the negative things, and the reason it's scanning to look for the negative things is just genuinely how we are hardwired. But if your brain is something that can be wired to look for the negative and reaffirm these, it's called confirmation bias. So you won't notice the positive things. You won't notice the free coffee you got earlier. You won't notice the green light that you got the minute you rolled up to the lights. You won't notice that stranger smiling at you. You won't notice all of the positive little things that happen throughout your day, but I can guarantee you'll notice the negative. And this is why people say, you know, you can get 100 positive comments, but you get one negative, and it's the one negative you hold on to. Why is that? Why is that? Is because we are programmed to look for the negative, which is kind of terrible as well. But if we're programmed to look for the negative, we can also look for the positive in life. You just have to allow yourself to see it. Whereas the negative, sometimes I feel the reason, this is just me freeballing here, but I do feel like the negative almost like has a deeper hit, if that makes sense. Like an emotional charge, basically. It makes us feel something more emotionally than that smile from the stranger. Sometimes. Not everybody is like this, by the way. That's just definitely something that I noticed in myself probably over the last couple of years, is that I was programmed to actually look for the negative rather than the actual positives in life. When you're looking to achieve a goal or manifest or change something in your life, the biggest obstacle of that or getting to those things is going to be yourself, because your subconscious literally rules your life without you even realizing it. And it's coming back to exactly what I'm talking about right now. It's those beliefs that you hold about yourself. It's who you think you are. You will be able to find your limiting beliefs by just looking at your reality. Like, are you always doubting yourself? Are you afraid to step out of your comfort zone? Is your relationship with food in a really bad place? Is your body image in a really bad place? Is how you see your body image in a very bad place? Are you always speaking down to yourself? Are you always speaking negatively about yourself? Are you always talking yourself out of opportunities that you know you have the ability to achieve and go for, but you don't go for them because you're so afraid of that rejection? If you're sitting here and you're like, I don't know what my limiting beliefs are, look at what you're not super satisfied with in your life, or you're not happy with, and then ask yourself, okay, well, what is that trying to show me about myself? What is it trying to show me that I believe about myself? So whether it's the shitty relationship, like, I know we've probably all been in a shit relationship, and I've spoke about this on other episodes, but like in one of my not so great relationship, you know, a big part of this was myself, because I had the ability to walk away so many times, and I did. Why? Because of that fear of abandonment. Because I was so afraid, even if it was toxic hell, it was so familiar to me, that toxic hell, because I always believed I wasn't good enough, or I always believed that people were gonna leave, so I didn't want to leave, even though I wasn't being respected, even though let's just say I wasn't being treated well in many ways. It was like, I don't want to leave because I would rather abandon myself than have somebody, you know, even though I would have been the one that was leaving, I would rather abandon myself than that feeling of being maybe alone again. There's so many ways that this life will show it to you if you're looking for it. But of course, this can be obviously a hard thing to see. Like, that's what I think personally. I think like changing these beliefs I don't believe are easy. But I just know from even working with the women in Project Rediscovering You, these women are walking out feeling 10 times better in themselves, having a better quality of life, changing these beliefs about themselves, not holding themselves back anymore, healing their relationship with food, healing their body image. And also, sorry, just to kind of go back there for a second to the whole thing I was talking about like it being familiar and like that familiar hell. The worst thing you can do is stay in a familiar hell. And what I mean about this is I talk about this with binge eating as well. A lot of people would rather stay, and I know I did for a long time, stay with the binge eating. Even though it's horrible, even though it's the worst thing in the world, they feel shit afterwards. They would rather stay with the binge eating because it is a part of them. It becomes a part of their identity, or because it's also a very big comfort zone. Even though, again, I'm going to repeat this, even though it's shit and a chaos, that feels familiar to you. Because it's familiar and it's in your comfort zone, you're going to continue to stay in that because it's in your comfort zone. And sometimes, believe it or not, the amount of women I have worked with over the years now with binging who are actually afraid because they don't know themselves without it. They don't know themselves without the binging. And that is the hardest part. Like, even for me now to this day, when I'm changing some of my limiting beliefs, some of my beliefs that are running so subconsciously, the hardest thing for me to do is admit that I actually don't know who I am without it, without that belief running, you know, running in my subconscious. And it's the fear of stepping outside of that. And I noticed as well, I spoke about this before, but I noticed when I came to Bali, I had like this big fear of being seen, and I didn't realize that. And like, what do I mean by fear of being seen? It just means basically if people can really truly see the raw authentic version of me, I'm so afraid that I'd be judged for that. Even though honestly I have to say, and this is not actually even a lie, the most raw authentic version of me you'll catch me on this podcast. And it's easy for me to chat, it's easy for me to talk to you guys, because I do feel like, number one, you know, over the years I've created such a good community on Instagram, but I feel like a lot of you guys come from Instagram, and I feel like a lot of you have stayed with me for so much of my journey, you know, it's actually insane. So I'm so grateful again for that. But we have created such a good community on here that for some reason within the podcast, I don't know about Instagram. Now, Instagram is still, sometimes I can be a bit scared of Instagram and being my raw authentic self, even though I'm still figuring out who the fuck that is. I don't know who my raw authentic version is. I really do feel like it's my inner child. I feel like it's everything I used to do as a child that I lost along the way. And that, my friends, is exactly where the idea of rediscovering you came from. We, number one, realized there was a gap in the market. Sorry, I'm going off on a tangent here. But number two, we realized that like rediscovering you is, it's in the name. It's about rediscovering who you are before the world told you who you needed to be. And that, write that down, because that is fucking brilliant. But seriously, like, that for me is what healing was all about. What unwiring all of these beliefs were about in myself and changing my subconscious, because a lot of these beliefs were running the show in my life, and my life was looking a way that I didn't want it to look. I was like, why is my life feeling like this? And it was all coming from those subconscious beliefs. But yes, that's what healing was all about for me. Rediscovering who I am underneath all of the baggage, all of the limiting beliefs, all of society, all of the shit relationship with food, all of the treating myself like shit, all of the not reaching the beauty standards. So much. You wouldn't believe the amount of shit, number one, society puts on us, but then number two, the amount of trauma we usually have from childhood that we don't even realize. And like, when I say trauma, I've said this before, but sometimes I do feel the need to explain it, because I do feel like sometimes the word trauma can be a bit taboo, but like, it doesn't need to be. Trauma is anything to you. It doesn't have to be this massive, big, deep thing. But a lot of the times, who is to say it wasn't that massive, big, deep thing? A lot of the things that I went through is trauma to me, and it's deep to me, but it mightn't be, it won't be to anybody else. But it's never to invalidate your own experience and your own journey, by the way. That is exactly, sorry, I went off on a tangent there, but that is exactly what rediscovering you is about. Going back now, back to your beliefs, back to the things that are running subconsciously that you're not happy about in your life, okay? So the goal is to find the root of the belief firstly. Then you want to challenge this with evidence. This means evidence against that belief. And a lot of the times when I work with clients and even myself, what makes that belief true? And genuinely, what makes it true? So you're going, if a belief is formed basically in the past, so it's something that happened to you at early ages or grown up or teenage, and it created a pattern in your brain and repetition and all of that, what we just spoke about earlier in the podcast. What makes that true right now? Other than the fact that your brain is wired to keep going back there. What makes it actually true? You usually don't have any evidence. And usually when I ask, like, when we do this work in rediscovering you, when I do this work with my own clients, when I ask them, like, okay, well, what does, like, is that actually true? They don't have an answer. They actually don't have an answer to what makes that true, other than past experiences. When I ask them, is there anything in your real life right now that proves that to be true? Usually the answer is no. What we want to do is we want to find new evidence. What happens with, how do we create new evidence? New experiences. So we have to create new experiences, and this, you know, pushing yourself out of your comfort zone, doing that thing that you keep doubting yourself about, posting that piece of content, starting that business. And it is about pushing yourself, what you're most afraid of. So where the fear lies is usually what you need to go head first into. Where there's a fear, you need to go head first into, because that's what you're so afraid of, the rejection. You're so afraid of posting that video because of the thought of rejection. But if there's rejection, there's also acceptance. The world works on duality. It works on positive and negative, hot, cold, black, white. There is always an opposite to the other side. Does that make sense? So duality works on, if there's a negative, there also has to be a positive. You're just wired to look for the negative. But what if you practice looking for the positive? If you look for the positive in life, I can guarantee you will find it. And that also goes back to why I'm also probably feeling a lot better in myself, is because I'm like, I'm looking for 10 things that I'm grateful for every single day. But I'm looking for 10 amazing things, 10 small things, 10 big things that I need to be grateful for. And you can bet your life on it that I am walking out my room every single day and I'm like, oh my God, life is amazing. Life feels so good. And then all of a sudden, because you started your day looking for the positive, looking for those new experiences, looking for, yeah, the positives in life, you are going to see more positives in your life throughout the day. But coming back to, again, we went off on another little tangent there, but definitely go get the magic. But going back to challenging your belief, you need to challenge them by doing an action of what the belief is telling you about yourself. So let's just say you're saying to yourself, I'm not confident enough to go to the gym. That's just, it's a very simple one. I just wanted to give you that as a good example. I'm not confident enough to go to the gym. You gotta go to the gym. And I know it's not that easy because a belief is tangled in emotions. So let's just say you went to the gym before and, I don't know, you fell off a treadmill. Okay, you were embarrassed. That embarrassment now is linked to the gym. That's an emotional connection to that experience, which makes the belief even stronger. So once there's an emotional connection to something, well, to a belief more so, it always makes it so much stronger, because emotions are real things. Emotions are what we felt in that moment. And because we can be so scared to feel embarrassed again, or feel rejected again, or feel abandoned again, we won't put ourselves into situations that will ever make us usually feel like that again. Or sometimes we will put ourselves into situations, you can go either way, you will put yourself into situations to reaffirm those beliefs about yourself. But let's just say you are on the opposite side, okay, and you're not putting yourself into the gym because you're actually afraid that that would ever happen again. I know it's so hypothetical. You won't be going to the gym. So the first challenge that we need to do is basically go and challenge that. So that's when you're holding yourself back, okay? So that's when you're not doing something that, let's just say, you really want to do, but you're so afraid because you don't want to feel embarrassed again. Now on the opposite side, let's just say you're, I think like an easy example of this is a relationship, like a romantic relationship, right? And I use this because I feel like we all can definitely probably relate to it. But again, coming back to even one of the beliefs that I used earlier with example to myself, always afraid that people will leave. You can also go in the opposite end where you put yourself in situations that people constantly show you that they are gonna leave. And what I mean by this is shitty people. You know, the real people, like your best friends, have probably never left you, have always showed up for you, have always been the best people in your life. But let's just say your romantic relationships haven't been super successful. But that's because of usually our choice in these people. Our choices are blurred. Our choices have those rose-tinted glasses on, because what we want to do is we want to prove that pattern. We want to prove what we believe about ourselves, which is we aren't good enough and people will always leave. Is that actually true? No. Because you have real life evidence that you have best friends that have never done that to you. But what this suggests is that you're putting yourself in these situations. That's why, if you've ever seen, like, you see them on TikTok, you see people's stories about going through these horrible breakups, and they'll say things like, you just have to be an adult to say to yourself, I'm never going to put myself in that situation again. And that's sometimes all it takes. The emotional experience that you've had from, say, being treated so poorly and being in a shit relationship has now outweighed the emotional experience of being abandoned in the first place. So back in child, I know you gotta follow me on this one, right? But the emotional experience that you had with this toxic person right now in real life was a lot stronger, and you felt a lot worse in that than you did back in childhood, which means now you have a choice to say, I'm never, that's why people make that choice, is they say, I've never felt so shit in my life. This has been the worst experience of my da 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 da. And like that emotional experience that they've had with that person is so much stronger than the emotional experience that they had in childhood. So now, can you see how that belief becomes rewired? Now, sometimes that happens subconsciously. Sometimes people don't even know they're rewiring a belief in that moment, but they choose when they leave that relationship, they'll say to themselves, I am never going to ignore the red flags at the start of a relationship. I am never going to have those rose-tinted glasses on. And I am never going to go for that the same person again and again. But that is also why they say lessons will keep showing up in your life until you learn them. And that's what it's about. Every person that comes into your life that teaches you a quote-unquote lesson is teaching you something about yourself. And if you learn from it, you will grow from it and you will change and your life will change. That's why people go from such shitty relationships into such beautiful relationships, because they have changed that belief. That's how you change, obviously, a belief, is new experiences, new thoughts, and new emotions. I kind of skipped the new thoughts part, but I jumped to the new emotions there in that last part. How someone's experience in real day time is stronger than the experience that they had when they were younger. So that creates a new emotion. But then you also have thoughts. So your thoughts are so, so important. So this is why I always like, especially with body image and the clients that I work on a day-to-day basis, I always have to ask one question. If you wouldn't speak to a friend like that, why are you speaking to yourself like that? And usually, genuinely, like if people are being honest with themselves, it's usually because they believe that they deserve that. But what comes back to these beliefs again of like, I'm not good enough unless I look a certain way. But who said that? Who actually said that? Other than society. So now it's your job to unlearn that, because who you are outside of how you look are two completely different things. So every time I ask a client to sit down and I say, who are you? What makes you you? Their traits and characteristics and everything that a friend would describe about them is nothing got to do with how they look. So that tells me also that belief isn't theirs. That's society. Society said you need to look this way in order to be accepted. So now they believe if they don't look like that, they should treat themselves like shit. When in reality, that's not the case at all. And you need to challenge your thoughts. And challenging your thoughts is exactly like challenging your belief. Exactly how I just talked about there. What actually makes that true? And it's practicing neutrality with your, obviously with your body image, but it's practicing actually like catching the thoughts and then challenging them. You always have to ask about a thought, is what makes that true? Genuinely, what makes that true? Other than the thought that you're having. And usually if you're saying, okay, well, this is what makes that true, that's how you're going back to a belief that you have, because you're now going back to physical evidence, which usually creates an old belief. But if beliefs are based on the past experiences, the past no longer exists, so why are we holding on as if it does? So a lot of your beliefs just are formed in the past and you're still, you know, jumping back to that pattern, which I know is also in the brain. So that's just a pattern that's created in your mind. But why are you still holding on to it? Because nothing in your actual reality right now, like nothing in this present moment, makes that true other than the truth that you're given to your past and the constant going back. But of course, before all of this, before changing the belief, you have to become aware of the beliefs. And that's, I just talked to you about how to become aware of the beliefs, is to look at your life and see where you're not satisfied and see where you're not happy with, and ask yourself, okay, well, what does this show me anything about myself? It's not to excuse shitty people's behavior or anything like that, but it's to take responsibility for what you're not happy with, but also what you're still choosing because of also these beliefs. So to go back, how do we change a belief? We have to find the root of the belief. We have to challenge this with new evidence. So this is new experiences, new thoughts, new emotions. You have to create new experiences, which is what we talked about, pushing yourself, going to the gym, stepping out of your comfort zone, doing something that you're, where the fear lies, diving headfirst into that. Then you have new thoughts, challenging your thoughts. So if I say, oh my God, Kira, you're the ugliest person in the world. Okay, Kira, what makes that true? Is that true? There's my challenge right there. Because honestly, I have no evidence. Who said Kira is the ugliest person in the world? Genuinely, nobody said that. But then we have new emotions, which is, sometimes new emotions can also be created in the imagination as well. This is how a lot of manifesting is done, but I won't get into that today. Every new experience you have will also have an emotion attached to it. So that is your new emotion as well. And then when you create new thoughts, naturally, like think of every time you spoke shit to yourself, you feel shit, yeah? So that's linked to an emotion. So when I say to myself, Kira, you're the ugliest person in the world, and I keep repeating that throughout the day or multiple times a day, I can guarantee that I'm not gonna feel so great about myself. I'm probably not gonna feel good enough in any way. So yeah, then because of this, I'm probably not gonna feel good enough, because I'm the one who's speaking to myself shit. I'm the one who's telling myself that I'm the ugliest person in the world. But when I change that thought and I don't engage in that thought anymore. So I don't also have to stand there and scream the most positive thoughts to myself, but I don't have to engage in it, which is just neutrality. And when I stop engaging in that thought, it no longer feeds that emotional reaction to it. So that not good enough feeling, that's not being brought up anymore because I'm not engaging in those shitty thoughts. So when I'm not engaging in those shitty thoughts, I'm no longer feeling that. So then because you start engaging in new experiences and new thoughts, you are now having new emotions, which are more joyful, more happy, more gratitude, more peace, because you're no longer, let's just say, I'm just using body image because it's very easy, but you're no longer tearing yourself apart. That's why when I healed my body image, honestly, life skyrocketed because I felt better in myself. That was the, like, I was after healing something that had taken so much peace from my life. My life felt like my internal world was chaos. And then when I healed my body image and I got to a place of first neutrality, then acceptance and state of love for my body, I no longer deal with those thoughts anymore. So that belief is now gone. The belief that I need to look a certain way in order to be worthy is now gone because I basically starved that belief and rewired a new one. That's exactly what happens. If beliefs are formed, they can also be reformed, which means rewired. Again, new experiences, new thoughts, new emotions equals new beliefs. You don't have to erase all beliefs. You just have to starve them and feed them and feed the new ones until they become the default. Our default and that pattern that I talked about earlier in the podcast is going back to that familiar hell or those familiar negative beliefs that we're scanning for all around us. And if you're scanning for it, you will be shown it, okay? But if you start scanning for the positive and the new experiences and the new thoughts and the new emotion, you can guarantee that that's going to become your default. So everything is just repetition. This is exactly how your internal world is a mirror of your outer world, and it mainly comes back to the beliefs that you hold about yourself. That's what creates your outer world. So if you want to change things on the outside, that's why we always say in Rediscovering You, if you change within, everything on the outside changes. Because everything on the inside has changed. Everything on the inside has got better. How you speak to yourself, how you treat yourself, how you show up in the world, the promises you keep, the behaviors you have on a day-to-day basis, the patterns, they all change. And so does your world, and so does the people in it. You only ever attract in the people who are on the same quote-unquote vibration as you. This is what's going to happen. Your life is only going to get better if you stop letting your subconscious beliefs run the show. And yeah, here's to continuing to evolve, continuing to understand ourselves, continuing to grow, heal, learn. You're not supposed to have a perfect, don't do a me on it and try and get all of this perfect. It's not supposed to be perfect. You're not supposed to be perfect. I wanted to share this with you, and it kind of went off on a lot of tangents today, sorry. But I'm going to trust that it was obviously needed and somebody out there will get something from this podcast. I really do hope you enjoy this one. Let me know your thoughts. It's a bit different, but it's not really different to probably what I speak about all of the time. If you do feel like you got something out of this, please do let me know. I would love to hear from you. I'd love to hear your thoughts. And I will see you on the next episode.